welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjure Man Ali of theconjureman.com in Mission Viejo, California, special co-host Deacon Millett of fouraltars.org in Joshua Tree, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Mama E of conjuredoctor.com in Los Angeles, California, bringing us today's topic on springtime spells, cleansing, protection, and renewal. Afterwards, we'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjure Man Ali and Deacon Millett. Conjure Man Ali.
Thank you, Papa Newt, for that wonderful introduction. It's always lovely to hear your mellifluous voice starting us off. For those that are tuning in, obviously I am not Miss Cat, who is the normal host of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and I'm happy to be her co-host. She is taking a day of recovery, a much-needed day of recovery today. Like all good Tauruses, she has worked herself quite hard the past few weeks with book editing, and she's feeling a little under the weather. So she is taking the day to recover, and we wish her well and look forward to her return next week. The show isn't quite the same without her, but we are very privileged and very lucky to have Deacon Millett, who is not only a fan favorite of the show, but also one of my personal favorites, and I know Kat's as well, as our co-host. So we're very excited to have Deacon Millett on. Before we go over to Deacon Millett and see how he's doing, just a quick reminder to everyone about the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, which is coming up. Usually Miss Kat gives an update about what's going on. I can't give you an update, but I can tell you a little bit about the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. I've gone to several of them. I won't be going this year, unfortunately. But they are absolutely wonderful. Every year they get better and better and better. And that's usually a sign of the dedication and commitment of all the people that are involved in putting on the festival, is that they don't, you know, a festival doesn't conclude and they say, okay, that was good, see everyone next year. But they spend an entire year asking themselves, how can they improve? How can they bring more to the next year's festival? So they have been improving these year after year. This one is going to be amazing, in addition to a bunch of wonderful books that you will get for attending. You also have the opportunity to meet some great root workers who will be coming and giving presentations and workshops on a variety of different topics, including, for example, the famed Madame Nadia and Jae from Fit and Foxy, who will be giving a special at the festival, so you don't want to miss that out. You'll also have an opportunity to meet your favorite readers. For example, I know Deacon Millett is the reading wrangler at the festival, and you get an opportunity to meet people like Professor Ames, Mama E. You get an opportunity to meet people like Kai Armand, who will be there and doing readings. So definitely check out Hoodoo Heritage Festival, put on by the Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church. It also has wonderful performance elements. Madame Pamita will be putting on a performance element. So will the John St. Germain. There will also be a dinner where you get to interact and mingle with some of your favorites. So don't miss out on this festival. And there's great books, great, you know, products, great workshops being put on. And it is really kind of a once-in-a-lifetime. Once they pass, the next year's festival is going to be different with different people and different topics. I know for me in particular, the festival acted as really an opportunity to meet the community that I work for once a year, check in with them, see how everyone's doing. it's a great kind of renewal experience as well. You walk away feeling very refreshed and excited to get back to work and take the thing that you've learned and bring it into your personal life and your practice. So definitely check that out. I know it's going to be great, and I am going to be missing it out. I'll be there in spirit. But Beacon Miller, I know that you'll be going to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, so there's an opportunity for people to meet you there. Welcome to the show. So glad to have you as a co-host. Let's talk just real briefly about what you've been up to, what's going on in your practice, since it's been a little while since we've had you on, before we dive into our topic. So what have you been up to, Beacon Miller, and how are you doing?
I am doing great. Had some super hot days, so we've already got the air conditioning running out here in the desert.
Oh, wow.
And gotta keep the candles cool. 100 of them going at once puts out a little bit of heat. So, but everything's going good here. Enjoying the spring. The bloom this year is fantastic. We had so much rain, and it's really making Southern California beautiful. So great today for our discussion. And, of course, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is a springtime event for me. You know, being in the gardens in Forestville is just such a joy in the spring. And so it's one of those things that I associate, with Mother's Day. So looking forward to being there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful springtime event. And, you rightly mentioned the rain. For those that haven't been following, California had a lot of rain this winter, so much so that we're finally out of the drought. Which is great news. Hopefully we can stay out of it for a little while. So that's fantastic news. And I think what could be a more perfect topic than what Mama E has introduced to us today, and that is spring renewal. We're going to get to that topic in just a second. Let's bring in Mama E and see how she's doing. Welcome, Mama E. So glad to have you on the show. For those that don't know, let me give you a brief introduction, though you've been on the show before. Mama E also comes to us from Southern California. So we have, though I'm away from Southern California, I'm based off of in Southern California. So we have a bunch of SoCal people here today. Mama E runs ContraDoctor.com and is the mother of the late, great Dr. E. She's taken on his practice and is one of our favorite people. She brings a powerful, gentle, and insightful hand to a variety of different works that she does, practicing hoodoo and bringing on as well the folk and religious practices from her own background in Cuban folk magic and spirituality. She is a very gifted reader and medium, and so we're very excited to have you on the show. I wanted to see how you are doing and what's new in your world before we dive into our topic.
Hello, everyone. I'm very happy to be here again, and I am very sad that you're not going to be at the festival.
I know.
Congermana Lee, we're going to miss you a lot.
I will definitely be there by spirit. I know I'm very much sad that I'm going to be missing it out. But, it coincides with a previous travel plan. But I am determined to be there next year. I'm very much determined. I'll make it happen.
Yeah, I hope so.
So what's new in your neck of the woods and your practice and things that you've been doing?
Well, as you might remember, we moved from a small place where Dr. E had his practice into a larger place in the L.A. area, in the Long Beach area. Mm-hmm. And we have spent the last month getting ourselves organized, getting mm-hmm. additional help, and, getting the place in order. Thankfully, our customers and our clients have stayed with us and followed us, and we're very happy that they are so faithful. And I mm-hmm. have the best clients. They are amazing. When I do phone readings with them, it's more like meeting friends. They are all very wonderful people. So we're doing great, and I'm doing great. The weather has improved, although we got a lot of wind down there. But don't know where you guys are, but where I am, it's very windy. So we fight the wind with the candles lit, but we're succeeding. But no, we're fine, all is well, thank goodness. So excited that spring is finally coming. Maybe the rain will slow down a little bit.
Yeah, well, wonderful news. Moving can always be a bit of a hassle, but so glad to hear that everything is settling down for you. Now,
yeah.
You brought us an interesting topic. You mentioned spring. And our topic today is spring's renewal and working for the season of spring. So I'm going to introduce the topic, and then let's dive in. I'll turn this over to you to see which direction you want to take it. But when people think of spring renewal, they don't often, of hoodoo, in particular post the 20th century, in which most of the development of hoodoo happened in the rural, in the urban areas. People kind of forget that there was a great migration, there was a shift, and that much of the development of hoodoo, while still considered a sort of southern black spirituality, developed in the big cities. And so people don't often, as a result of that, their kind of idea of hoodoo tied to seasons is not as popular as people think. More often than not, people assume that it's always sort of neo-pagan element or it comes from outside, but that's not necessarily true. Hoodoo is very much aware of the seasons, and there are various things that are done at different seasons. There are certain works that are seasonal or tied with certain ideas. For example, the burning of red onion skins for good luck is often done seasonally. You don't do it all the time. People tell you that you usually do it around winter time. Some people say, no, you do it around New Year's time. And there's others that say, no, it's only meant to be done during springtime. So there is this very clear idea that the seasons have an impact on what you do. Other people will do their spring cleaning. They will do cleansing work in the home and the body. And so spring cleaning takes on a completely different meaning for them.
Right.
So the seasons are very important. So in light of that, I want to ask you, what does spring renewal mean to you? And what are some of the things that you do for this time of year?
Well, to start, I always start with cleansing. Because to me, first, you need to clean where you live. You need to clean yourself. You need to clean your area of work before you can even think of renewing anything. Because you don't want to renew things that are not clean. So I start by cleansing my home. I use the traditional way, at least it is for me, I use incense, water, and prayer to clean my home. Cleaning, it's also focused on the things that you use. It's not only your home. I take advantage of spring to clean my linens, my towels, my curtains if I can, if they're washable or not, or, they can always be sage or, incense or, but I think that spring goes beyond the regular cleaning that you do throughout the year, because I feel that everyone should be doing cleaning throughout the year. It should be one of the things, we change our clocks twice a year. I think we should be cleaning our house like four times a year. So I personally use sage, white sage, or if you don't like the scent, which is not, the prettiest smell in my book, you can burn Palo Santo, which smells much better. Now, after that, I use holy water. And I spritz the house with holy water, and I recite the Lord's Prayer. Now, many of my clients have asked me, where do you get holy water? Well, I personally go to any Catholic church, and it's free. They have fountains. They have baptismal fountains. They even have little faucets and little tanks where you can bring your spray bottle and fill it up. I have gone to 7 different churches, and I've collected all that water, and I use that in my work. Mm-hmm. Being that 7
wow.
is such a powerful number, I went to
yeah.
7 Catholic churches. So I have holy water from 7 churches mixed in 1 big gallon. So,
wow.
And that's like a field trip. If you guys want to do that, it will take a couple of days to go and, you know, make it fun. Just go in there, take your water, and bring it home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can also make your own holy water if you so want. You can just get filter water, add a pinch of salt, and pray on it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally place my hands over the water. I send my channel energy, and I invoke, because I was raised Catholic, the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to bless
mm-hmm.
the water. But you can also use your spirit guides. You can also use your ancestors to help you and any spirits that you worship to help you give strength to that water. That
mm-hmm.
would be blessed water, holy
mm-hmm.
water.
Yeah,
now,
that's a very important point too, that
yeah.
you can, you know, that holy water is basically just blessed water. A very good point.
Right, right. And what I do is after I smoke and spray the holy water, then I focus on the floors, the windowsills, the door frames. I like to clean the floors and all that with a little bit of Chinese wash and peace
mm-hmm.
water combined in a bucket of regular water. Some people
great.
Put a tiny bit of Florida water if they want to. I clean my house as, you know, regular from top to bottom and from the back to the front. Dispose the used water at the curb. I put salt across my front and my back door and the window sills after everything is clean to seal my house.
Mm-hmm.
And additionally, you can put salt around the perimeter of your house.
Yeah.
In a clockwise manner. That's if you can do that. Sometimes we are not, you know, there are buildings next to each other. So what I do for my bed linens and my towels, I take an uncrossing bath and dilute it in warm water. Now, if you use the herbs, they have to be strained. But if you use the crystals that Lucky Mojo sells, that
mm-hmm.
would be awesome. Just take a cup of that and put it in your washer.
Yeah,
and
they dissolve right in the warm water, yeah.
Yes, and you know, just a cup. It's not going to turn anything color. And
mm-hmm.
It will clean your towels, your linens, and everything. Now, after you do that, then it's time to take care of yourself. And that's when you need an uncrossing bath.
Mm-hmm.
And there's instructions at Lucky Mojo at the website of how to take an uncrossing spiritual bath. And
mm-hmm.
you can also buy the supply there. So that's what I do for the cleansing part. After that
yes.
is done, mm-hmm.
I think let's stop right here because I think what you bring up here and the instructions you've given are very important because cleansing is done quite regularly, especially
mm-hmm.
if you're a professional root worker or if you do this work regularly or you come from a tradition where you know about this, you'll know that you do cleansing. It's not, you know, every single day, you know, you're sitting there creating
right.
spiritual baths, but you do it frequently enough. Some people do light cleansings regularly. For example, very readers like Miss Cat notes that she
mm-hmm.
Washes her hands with a little bit of Van Van and then
flings yes.
her hands out, flicking off what may be on her hands in between readings. You mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Other people
mm-hmm.
talk about doing sprays and washes that you can wash your
right.
hands and your feet with daily or regularly. Others talk about weekly or monthly. But we are talking about the much deeper form of cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
It's done every so often, and spring is a perfect time to do it. And this is also quite traditional. Miss Kat talks about how they, once a year, Lucky Mojo also goes through a very deep cleaning. I know that for me, it's the same way. I do certain regular cleansing, but springtime
mm-hmm.
is when I really do the cleaning work. People who've listened to the radio show know that I talk about a few weeks ago, last month, that I started organizing and cleaning books. That's how I start. Before spring
mm-hmm.
comes, I start to organize yeah. the piles of books that I had, and then that goes into the in-depth cleansing, right? throughout the house and on myself, which is different from what I do regularly. It's really a way of refreshing and really doing deep cleansing work. Deacon Miller, I wanted to ask you, as a person who also maintains really beautiful altars and as someone who is quite famous as an astrologer, and you do certain works based off of certain astrological conditions. For example, you're very famous for doing Mercury in retrograde work to help ameliorate that and deal with that, as well as other forms of astrological work, lighting candles and offering altars in that regard. Does spring mean something special to you? And what are some of the springtime spells that you employ in your work?
Well, certainly one that Mama E hasn't mentioned, but that's very important to me, is the resurrection plant. Or Jericho plant. I really like doing big rituals. I get a crystal punch bowl, and I fill the base with different crystals and fill it with distilled water and place my plant in that and let it come to life over the course of 3 days at this time of year. And that's one that's very special to me, and I take the water out every day and renew it with pure, clean water. So that's one that I really like. The altars here have to be cleaned, of course, much more regularly. A continual fight. but there's something about smudging everything down, spraying everything once a year with a special sense of renewal that I think is vital. Mm-hmm. And one thing Mama E said that had just never occurred to me was putting the peace water in with the Chinese wash. That is such a beautiful combination. Mm-hmm. And I'd never thought about it. It's just it will now be a one of my basics. That's just really beautiful.
And what a great scent that would be too, because Chinese is
wonderful.
Pine salty,
it's
but
wonderful.
Mixing that peace water, wow, like what a way to really bring in a nice, mellow, subtle scent to that. That is fantastic. Yeah. I love the Rose of Jericho idea, Deacon Mel. I think that's such a beautiful, symbolic, and really powerful spiritual way of dealing with spring. For those that don't know about the Rose of Jericho, you can look it up or look at Lucky Mojo, and there's various sites. You can even watch time-lapse the videos of it. But it comes to life when you put it into a bowl of water. So you're really literally working with renewal and rebirth in regards to that. And that ties very much into something quite perennial about spring. Spring has always been about renewal and rebirth. There's a reason why the Easter Sunday falls during springtime, right? The kind of antiquated notion that's somewhat discredited now of Christ as a dying and rising God, even though it's discredited, it does speak to something that around the world, people feel something about spring, about coming, things coming back to life after the death of winter, so to speak. So the Rose of Jericho really, really speaks to that symbolism and that power. I think that's quite beautiful. Mommy, you said that after you do the cleansing work, you also do other types of work. So once you've done in-depth work, you've done this fantastic cleansing of home, of altars, of self, what is it that you do afterwards?
Okay. I do protection.
Protection,
A note on the Jericho plant, you can also use holy water or blessed water in the glass. Yeah. Because it's already charged and it would even make a stronger, effect. But anyway, going back to protection, I am a crafter and I am a fan of making wreaths for the front door. I have a lot of different wreaths that I've made. And they can be used throughout the year with different themes and they can be tricked to protect the home. And you don't have to be a crafter. You can go buy a wreath, and you can add things to it on the back of it. And you can hide, protective items on the back of the wreath. I like to put bay leaves. I like to put rue and eucalyptus. And then I anoint it with fiery wall of protection oil. And I change the wreath according to the seasons or the holidays, but I always have a protection wreath on my door. I have one now that has an Easter bunny. And he looks very cute and harmless, but he's protecting my house. Mm-hmm. So, so that's one way that you can protect the entrance, the door to your house. You can also protect yourself. You can get a little pouch. It doesn't necessarily have to be a module. You don't have to, take the course to do this. You just add herbs in it. And the same herbs that were in the wreath. You can add bay leaves. Everyone can get those. You can get rue. You can get eucalyptus. You can add that in a little pouch and carry it with you and anoint it with fiery wall of protection. I anoint my car with fiery wall of protection. Because the way that, as much driving as I do here, I do 5 spots in my car, and when I go, I know I'm protected. So that's what I do after the cleansing. Now,
and
the
it's
renewal
certainly needed
part,
in Southern California, for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
With the
religious
driving down
here. I've been hit just sitting at a red light twice.
Oh, dear.
So that's when the firewall of protection oil came out. So, and I started anointing everything. Now, I will save the renewal part for my spell. But that would be the next part of the 3-part spring cleaning. Okay?
That is fantastic. I love that spring time isn't just about cleansing. It's also about renewal. I know, for example, for me, what happens is after I do the in-depth cleansing, right, where everything kind of gets refreshed, altars are suddenly clean, or as clean as they can really be, right, as Deacon Millen kind of alluded to, they're never quite fully clean, and they are a bit of a mess, especially if you're a professional and you're working with altars. You know, wax builds up, they tend to, objects build up, and altars get cluttered. They have like characters all their own. But for me, it's also an opportunity to renew my ongoing work. So there's certain works that I have that's ongoing all the time, right? So I have works of prosperity that ensure that money is always flowing in, that protect me from poverty and money jinxes. And, you know, we're all works of love that ensure that there's always love in my home and life and hearth. So there's ongoing things, right, and ongoing protection.
Right.
I have layers and layers and layers upon protection that involves all sorts of spirits of the dead, from my Kimbanda work, the Eshus, from my Jin work, the Jin that protect me, right? And this is stuff that protect me from, if someone tries to mess with my photos, someone tries to jinx me, someone tries to cross me up, someone tries to lay powders down, any of these type of things. These are protections that exist, and there's also work that's meant to draw, bring in money. Springtime, after I do the in-depth cleansing, is also an opportunity to renew those. So what I do is I then re-anoint the things that need to be anointed, pray over ongoing spells, feed things that need to be fed, light candles for things that need a nice little boost, making sure that the things that I have committed to, the long-term magical works that shape my life, those things get renewed in springtime as well. And it's also an opportunity for me to call forth the spirits in my life that I work with and that I've made pacts with and alliance with and friendships with and renew those friendships. So I do a lot of ancestor work. I do a lot of feeding of spirit work. And it's a way of kind of touching up, touching base and rebuilding and making sure that the structure is sound. I often tell people that you can't control every aspect of your life. There's always going to be difficulties and whatnot. But if you proactively work in that regard, you won't have any problems. And knock on wood, this is something that I'm a big believer in. It's why doing this type of proactive work ensures that I don't have to deal with sudden money emergencies. Oh, no, I have no money. I got to light this candle. I never have to deal with that because I've done it in advance.
Right.
Things always flowing well, right? And so that's the springtime for me offers renewal means for me an opportunity to renew the magics that I've got going in my life, renew the alliances and the friendships, the spirits that I have going in my life to keep me protected. Deacon Mill, I want to ask you, what are some of your go-to products, candles, herbs when it comes to the renewal aspect of spring? So we've talked a bit about cleansing, but what for you is kind of a go-to when it's time for you to kind of renew things, when it's time to put new protection up or reaffirm strong protection or renew the various influences and powers in your life?
Well, it's definitely a time of year when I try to make a pilgrimage to Rhyolite, which is where one of my graveyard dirts comes from. And you don't want to go there when it's too cold and windy, and you don't want to go there when it's summer. And, you know, I had never consciously made the connection to the fact that it was about renewal until what you just said, but that is so exactly it. I also like any kind of road opening stuff at this time of year. So road opener and candles, Blockbuster candles, Ganesha candles, anything that is about second chances, about trying to remove the obstacles from our paths. All those things work really, really well. And now that Lucky Mojo has its wonderful Blockbuster products, I've become such a huge fan.
They are wonderful.
That was one of those, that was one of those things that was just waiting to happen, and I was so relieved when it did. so that's another thing that I like about this time of year is doing that stuff to sort of pave the way for the rest of the year as an act of renewal.
Yeah, that is fantastic. It's interesting that you had even done this unconsciously, that you were making this pilgrimage. But really, like, this speaks to the power of spring, that we don't always do it consciously, but something in us recognizes that this is a time for renewal. I'm going to mention Van oil. I don't know if it's been mentioned, but Van oil is fantastic.
Wonderful.
And it is one of those oils that isn't necessarily seasonal, in the sense that when Van oil was made, people thought of, oh, this is the springtime oil. But it has a certain spring quality to it. And a lot of the woodworkers that I know have either consciously or subconsciously used Van oil and a lot of springtime works, that is road unblocking, turning around luck, breaking barriers, and cleansing. And Van oil does all of that. So I highly recommend Van oil. And it can be used really in anything, a couple drops of warm water for a bath. You can use it on candles. You can use it to feed amulets. You can anoint your hands with it. It's really great. I had a student who would not leave the house until he anointed his feet with Van oil. And it was something he did every single day. And then when spring came about, he would do an in-depth cleansing, and then the Van oil would go right on, and that's how he would start his spring. And he called it the first steps of spring, like a little way of renewing his life. Do a nice deep cleansing, Van oil on your feet, and that's the first steps of spring for you. What are some products, herbs? We've mentioned some of them in passing, but maybe we can come up with or compile a little bit of a list. What are some products, herbs, methods? You mentioned, for example, incense is very big for you, that you associate with springtime and the work that you do.
I have a small spell that I will share. And you know how so many people like to keep a small herb garden or a kitchen herb garden. Some of those plants are all for hoodoo purposes. You can plant it in the spring so that they start growing through the year. And, you know, like herbs like sage, it's against evil eyes. Rosemary is for a peaceful home, cleansing, a happy marriage. Marjoram is for protection. And oregano keeps the law away, which I'm not sure if everybody needs it, but, you know, it's not a bad idea to have it. Mm-hmm. And those herbs that you have in your house, whenever you cook with them, you can impart that energy into your food. Now, I love certain plants that are wonderful now, and because we have a house now that has a little yard, we want to put hoodoo herbs on it. And I was looking at lavender. We have planted a lot of irises, and that's the Queen Elizabeth, and also roses. So all those plants are blooming. They're beginning to grow and bloom at this time. They can also be used for hoodoo purposes. So I just love having, you know, those flowers and those plants around us, and it brings butterflies, and it brings birds, and it brings, you know, bees, and it brings everything. So anyway, so those, I mean, to me, that means when I hear the birds singing, spring is here. And, you know, yeah. So I have a resident dog that comes every year and makes a nest right in front of the door of my house, up in the, under the eave. And I know spring is here because she's back. So,
And what a great way. Live herbs and plants like that are fantastic, not just because they're kind of ongoing and they're in your life all the time. You can work with them in food, but also they act as an early warning system. So if you've planted a bunch of different herbs or plants in your home, if one of them starts to wilt, that lets you know that in that aspect something might happen. So, for example, if you've planted a basil plant and that starts to wilt, that lets you know that something may be affecting the peace and serenity. If, on the other hand, your sage plant is starting to wilt or die, that clarity may be lacking or wisdom. So that is a subtle form of divination. This was a really fantastic topic. Spring is still in bloom, so hopefully we can get a part two to this, because I think a lot of people will be interested in further conversation about protection work maybe and how to really build constructively on spring. Thank you, Mama E, for such a wonderful, wonderful topic. But it is now time for us to get to the readings of the show, and we're going to have Papa Newt guide us forward.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your hosts, Conjurman Ali and special co-host Deacon Millett, and this week's special guest, Mama E, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 843 in South Carolina. This is Pamela. Pamela, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. I see you've been listening to us, but this is your first time calling in, so welcome, hon. And I see that you have not had any private readings with Miss Kat or Conjurman Ali, but you have had a reading with Mrs. Jackson in December of 2016 on this situation. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you. And Pamela writes, I'm trying to understand and reach out to a friend after he had blocked me since February, after he poured his heart out to me. We've been having this mentally and spiritually thing going on still where we communicate to each other, but not in the material world anymore. Positive signs and dreams are driving me crazy, and I don't know what to make of it now since we had a good thing going on. I don't know what to do now. Turn it back to you, Conjurman Ali.
Thank you, Papa Newt. We're going to have Deacon Millett who's sipping in for Kat do the first reading for you. But before we turn over, I'm going to ask a couple questions here. So if I understand your situation, this person poured their heart out to you, and then after they poured their heart out in February, they've blocked you from communication, so you're unable to contact them via social media or phone, et cetera. Is that correct?
Yes.
And when you say poured his heart out, you're saying he confessed his love, desire, attraction, et cetera, towards you?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. And what is his sign of the zodiac?
He's a Gemini.
I'm sorry, say that again?
He's a Gemini.
He's a Gemini. Okay.
Yes.
That's not too unusual. Gemini do fluctuate a little bit. And what is your sign of the zodiac?
Aries.
Okay, an interesting combination here. I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Millett, who is going to be our first reader, and see what insights he can provide you. So, Deacon Millett, please take it away.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and choose three cards from the Secret Dakini Oracle deck, which is the deck that I use, and we'll see what insight they may provide. So, the first card is Soma. And this card shows a magic mushroom against a light of the silhouette of the mushroom. We see the rising. So this is a card associated with revelations, but it's also a card associated with intoxication, with drugs or alcohol. So it may well be that this conversation that you guys had, he wasn't ready for it, and that it just sort of came out of him, and now he doesn't know what to do with it. The second card here is Deep End, and this card shows a mermaid diving deep under the depths. This is a card of the subconscious, but it's also a card about getting in over our heads, and I do get a sense that your emotions run very deep on this, and you may be a candidate for cut and clear work if you continue to feel really upset and unhappy over him blocking you out for now. The third card is Tree Spirit Yakshi. This is a really interesting card for today because it is a card associated with the season. It shows a tree spirit and the sun and the moon, and I tell people to wait for the turning of the seasons when this card shows up, so perhaps things will be different for you come summer. But I also recommend that you meditate upon Ecclesiastes 3. I find that that is very helpful when this card shows up, so take a note of that and try to take some time out to meditate upon Ecclesiastes 3. Lastly, you definitely have an interesting astrological compatibility situation going on. Aries are direct and fiery. Geminis are much more compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. So there's no surprise here that having put his heart on his sleeve, he is now retreated. And the best thing you can do is try to rein in your Aries fiery nature to chase and instead just sit back and wait. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, if you need help moving on, then cut and clear would be my suggestion.
Okay.
Thank you, Deacon Noel. I think that was a very powerful and insightful reading, a great reflection on the zodiac there. Couldn't agree more. I think when he said reflect on Ecclesiastes 3, it's funny, you practically read my mind. I went, oh, that's such a great suggestion, and also very timely. So I couldn't agree more with that. Let's see what Mama E has to say. She's going to do our next reading, and then I'm going to give you some root work suggestions. So Mama E, if you could please divine for us and let us know what you see.
Yes. What I saw in my cards, and I pull more than three cards. When I read, to me, it's like a little book, and I see what is going on and why things happen. What I see in this gentleman is that he was in a place at the time that he communicated with you where he was being receptive and he was talkative and he was in need of someone to share his life with, and you know you were good together. You were both communicating greatly. However, not only because he's a Gemini, but because there are things happening in his life, he retreated and he backed down, leaving you hanging there, wondering what happened, what did I do, what have I done. What I feel of this relationship between the two of you, this was a learning relationship. Whatever happened between the two of you, it's for you to learn from this experience. And maybe, how long were you talking to him?
It was almost a month. It was
a month?
Yes.
Okay. See, what I think you need to learn from this experience is that it was too little of a time, and you fell for him too quickly because everything looked good. However, he backed down. And when I pulled cards on him, he has family issues. There are things around him that keep him isolated. So it was like somebody that was running away from whatever was pressuring him found you, share his feelings with you, but then had to go back into the situation that he was in. So there were decisions that he could not make. There was a chance that he could not take at that moment. So you were the casualty of that communication. You were the one that ended up with a broken heart. He has so many other problems that he doesn't even have the time to deal with anyone else. However, you will be fine. You will meet someone else. You will have a good future, but you need to, what Deacon Millett said, do some cut and clear and get over him, because he was just brought into your life to learn a lesson. And it could be many things. Figure out what it was that you liked about him and what it was that he did that hurt you. And put that on a list. I like to have this, but I don't like to have this other. And the next relationship that you meet, you have that background, you have that experience, and then you can move forward. But this man was not ready. So that's all I can say at this point.
Thank you, Mama E. I think you've had some really important readings here and some very important suggestions. There's a lot going on here, very clearly a lot going on. On one end, just from a purely practical point of view, talking to someone for 1 month and then waiting for them or pining for them for several months, it's generally not a good balance. And it's not an indication of a strong chance of rekindling something. What you experience is not too unusual when it comes to Geminis. Geminis are very much in-the-moment people. They are, and they feel in that moment, and they may give professions, or they may say a lot of things, and then they feel differently very quickly. Geminis fluctuate. They're the most mercurial of the signs, and that's just the reality. And that's not because they're bad people or evil people or wicked or any way, shape, or form like that. It's that they generally feel, and then they feel differently. That's just how they are. And so that's something to consider there. Now, I'm going to give you a perspective here as a straight guy, right? If a guy likes you, right? He really, really cares mm-hmm. about you. He will move heaven and earth to be with you, all right? Because I hear this a lot from women in particular. Oh, but he's afraid of commitment. Oh, but he's got that one thing. Oh, but he, you know, he's afraid of these feelings. No, he's not, right? Mm-hmm. Generally not, right? There are extenuating circumstances. More often than not, when a guy says he's afraid of his feelings, he's not ready for commitment, he's afraid of commitment, oh, his past has shaped him into who he's, what he's trying to say is he hasn't decided on your value yet and your worth, and he's wondering if there's something better out there, so he wants to keep the options open. So you have to ask yourself, is that something that you're ready to accept? A person who is uncertain of your worth and your value. Because if you are ready to settle for that, that's one thing. But if not, then that gives you your answer. That tells you very clearly what you need to do. In this case, I don't see, and I agree with Deacon Miller, and my a real strong chance of a relationship building out of this or something coming out of it. But I also get a very strong sense that you, being the passionate Aries that you are pretty fixed in what you want. So what I'm going to recommend to you is a communication spell, something, a working that will help you to communicate once more. But I want you to understand this as an opportunity to have closure, as an opportunity to air out your feelings, as to clear the air, but then move on. Do not view this as him coming back to you. If he calls you tomorrow after you do this working, do not fall into the temptation of thinking, well, maybe things will be different this time, because you're going to set yourself up for hurt and failure. You're going to be like, oh, well, maybe this time things are going to be different. Maybe it's going to work out. And you'll get all excited and you'll get caught up in the moment, and then suddenly he'll do the exact same thing. He'll block you and he'll disappear from your life. Instead, use this as an opportunity to, well, you know, to clear out, get your feelings off, or just to say what you need to say. Maybe it's you need a good just airing out of your feelings. So that's what I'm going to recommend for you. This is a way to get one final bit of communication. Don't use it for anything other than that. So what I want you to do is I want you to get a brown candle, a little bit of beeswax, a feather, some deer's tongue. Now, you can purchase a feather. You can get like a dove's feather. Or you can just keep your eye out for a feather that you find. I recommend keeping an eye out for a feather that you find. They're actually quite easy to find. They fall all the time and they're everywhere. Find one of those feathers and use it. You're going to soften the beeswax by warming it up. You could warm it up in your hand. You could warm it up in a double boiler, whatever you want. Just don't melt the beeswax. You're softening it, okay? You don't want it to turn into liquid. You are then going to spread out the beeswax. You're going to roll it out. You can use wax paper to do this to make sure it doesn't stick to anything. You're going to sprinkle the tobacco right onto the beeswax, and you're going to place your brown candle on it and roll it in the wax so that it picks up the wax and rolls with it. This creates like a layer. This is called rolling candles. This is very important, or double dressing sometimes it's called. It's a really traditional way of working with herbs and candles. You should at the end have a brown candle wrapped in a little bit of beeswax and brown tobacco. As you're rolling, you want to roll the brown candle towards you and call out his name. Once it's all rolled up, you're going to set the candle on a table or a surface from which you can work upon. You are then going to set in front of it a heat-proof dish, a thermal, a sensor, whatever, and place charcoal there. Light the charcoal. This should be incense charcoal, not barbecue charcoal, incense charcoal. You are going to light your candle and call out to him. You're going to sprinkle the tobacco, the deer's tongue, and the feather onto the charcoal and let it all burn to ash. It'll smoke up, and you will speak through the smoke into the candle, so that you have the incense in the front and the candle behind it, and you're going to speak to him as if he were there. So-and-so, you need to call me. You need to pick up the phone, and we need to talk. Let this entire thing burn down. Let the incense go out. Let the candle melt. Take whatever residual is left, the ashes and the wax. You can roll it up into a little ball, whichever, and place it near your phone. Some people will put it by their bedside. Some people will put it in a small pouch and keep it in their pocket where they keep their phone and carry it for about a week. Generally, you get a contact by no longer than about 2 weeks. That's what this candle work does. If you don't get contact within about 2 weeks, then the working has generally failed, right? And you move on. But within 2 weeks, sometimes as immediate as that day or a couple days, and within 2 weeks you'll hear from him. He'll call you, he'll message you, whatever. That's your opportunity to get things off your chest, to talk things through. After you've done that, you need to do what Deacon Miller and Mama E said. You need to follow up with a cut and clear. You can get a cut and clear spell kit from Lucky Mojo. What this does is it helps to remove the hurt, the pain, and all the bad that came with that relationship. All the things that you don't want, right? A person who pours their feelings out and then disappears from you. You list that on in the cut and clear working. And it gives you all the good. A person who's willing to express their feelings for you, the passion that you had with them, the connection that you felt you had with them, right? You can list that all the things you want. The great thing about a cut and clear spell is it's really your opportunity to go, look, I want all the good things that I saw here, but I don't want any of that excess baggage. I don't want any of that excess mess. So you need to follow it up with a cut and clear, because I don't want you 3 months from now still going, well, maybe we're communicating via spirit, so maybe there's something there. He hasn't spoken to me in 3 months, right? I don't want to see that. You need to do the cut and clear right after you air your feelings and then move on. The cut and clear spell is a great way of cutting your losses but drawing in new. It's not about you suddenly getting over him. It's about you finding someone that's better than him, right? And that's what the cut and clear offers you. So that's my recommendation. We've got a couple minutes. I'm going to see if Deacon Miller or Mama E have any suggestions or tweaks that they would like to make based off of their readings. So let's first go to Mama E.
Well, in my reading, it showed that someone is coming your way and that mm-hmm. you will have a relationship, a strong relationship with someone else. So I'm advising for you to do what Conjurman Ali has just said, do the spell, and also definitely do the cut and clear, because you right. need to be ready for the good relationship that you deserve, that is coming your way, and that will be invested in the relationship, someone that would really, really love you and not someone that just speaks the words and doesn't follow mm-hmm. with the action.
Deacon Miller?
Well, I love your description of cut and clear, Ali. I'm gonna play it back and memorize it because it's so positive. And I think my clients need to hear that version of cut and clear. I get a really good feeling about the future of love for you, mm-hmm. caller. And I think come summer, you're not even going to be thinking about this anymore. So
that's
get to
beautiful.
The cut and clear fast. Put out that attraction for the good that you really, mm-hmm. really want, the things that you've learned from this relationship. And you're going to succeed.
Wonderful. Thank you, Deacon Miller. Thank you, Mommy. Good luck, client. You have a positive reading there. It may sound like, oh, no, things are over, but they're telling you happiness mm-hmm. is on the way. So that's fantastic. Let's have Papa Newt come in and guide us forward into our next reading.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 503 in Portland, Oregon.
Me.
This is Chris. Chris, are you there?
Yes, hi there.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in. I mean, you just recently began,
it
you know,
is.
Found Lucky Mojo shopping there, and you just discovered us this morning or very recently. That's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, hey, great to have you. Now, I do see that you have not had any private readings with Ms. Kat, Congressman Ali, or any other members of AIR, but you have done your own readings on this situation and other readers. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, thank you, Chris. And he writes, I've got a career in real estate that I've been building for 2 years, and I am doing well, and I have a husband who worships me, but I'm really, really unhappy. I'm overweight, not self-disciplined, have very little passion and will, and at times use drugs and alcohol to manage my moods and create false sense of happiness, especially food. I'm unhealthy, unhappy, and unmotivated. When we get money, thousands of dollars from a sale, we spend it all and find ourselves impoverished shortly thereafter. I'm missing something and don't know what it is or where to start looking for it. Turn it back to you, Congressman Ali.
Thank you. So welcome. I'm so happy to give the reading for you. Chris,
thank you so
much. Thank you for trusting us with your situation. I'm going to ask you a few questions before doing your first reading, and then
sure.
We're going to have Mama E do your second reading, and then we'll have the wonderful Deacon Millett provide some root work advice. So what is your sign of the zodiac, Chris, if you don't mind me asking?
So I am a Libra, but I'm on the cusp with Virgo, but on the Libra side.
Okay, so you're a Libra. Okay, and you said you work in real estate. Now, you also mentioned that you've had tarot readings before, or you do tarot readings yourself. Is that correct?
Yes, both is correct, yes.
Okay, wonderful. So I pulled a few cards here, and the reason I ask if you do tarot readings yourself is because the very first card that I have is the High Priestess. The High Priestess is a powerful woman who is sitting between two pillars, the pillars of the Temple of Solomon, and behind her is a veil of pomegranate. And she is a woman who is deeply spiritual. She has a crescent moon at her feet. She has the scroll of the Torah in her hands, a cross on her chest, and an Egyptian or Mesopotamian headdress on her head.
Fabulous.
She's garbed in blue. This is a woman who is deeply, deeply spiritual, and it speaks to your own natural ability. You do have a latent. So when I asked if you read tarot, it's because this was my first card, and it tells me that you are a natural reader yourself. You're actually quite intuitive. You're very skilled. When you wound to me, that there is potential there. But here's the thing. The Priestess is also the initiatrix. This is a woman who initiates. It represents the beginning of something. So potential is there, but it hasn't quite been fully developed. You haven't actually taken the step into the Holy of Holies. You haven't actually stepped into the temple. But the power is there.
Yeah.
The potential is there. So the High Priestess is a very good card. The King of Swords is our next card. The King of Swords, for me, represents a dark force in your life. You're actually quite harsher on yourself than you realize. You're a little bit harsher. This is a card of being unjust. So the King of Swords is very analytical. This is a powerful male with a sword that is inclined. Unlike the Justice card, where the sword is upright and in perfect harmony. And you mentioned you are a Libra, so this associates with this quite strongly, being that Libra is an air sign, and is also one of the more analytic of the zodiac signs. More often than not, Libras have a difficult time finding that perfect balance, and harmony is very important for what they see. I often find that, like Gemini, Libra are one of the few zodiac signs that generally end up having either multiple careers or two careers at once, something that they do on the side, a hobby that they turn into money while they have a regular job, but they have multiple kind of things going on at once. So the King of Swords speaks to the need for that while also being too harsh on yourself, not being able to find that balance, that harmony, not being able to find that missing something. And when you're unable to find that missing something, you take the toll out on yourself. Right, so this is a self-punitive card, and it does speak to the need to rectify that. Whenever I see this card, I often recommend a just counselor. So don't be afraid to seek out a counselor in your life, a life coach, a therapist, or anything along those lines to help balance out the internal dialogue and monologue that's going on in your life. The final card that we have here is the Magician. The Magician is a person who has their life together. This is a person who is able to manifest the things that they desire. This says it's a person standing before an altar. They have their hand upraised with the rod of power in it, and they're pointing down to the ground, drawing in the roses from above. This is as above, so below. This is a person garbed in power. You have the inherent natural ability to change your life and change your life for the better. You have all the tools right before you. It's about employing those tools, employing the things that you have in your life in order to improve it and find the things that you are missing. So the good news is the cards tell us you can improve. Things will get better. You can achieve your desires. Nothing is stopping you but yourself. There are some other factors here that you should be aware of. I do sense that you will take on either another career or another source of income or another hobby of some sort that may be profitable to you both spiritually and as a means of income. You might consider developing an actual spiritual practice that you're interested in and then letting that build into a career of sorts. You know, you could easily be a real estate agent and do readings for clients, for example. Just something to consider. It doesn't have to be readings. But I do sense that a spiritual line of work is something that will help you find fulfillment, and it's going to come from the act of giving to others that you will find that it brings blessings into your life. So consider that. Consider the prospect of either doing readers or becoming a healer of sorts on the side to help bring in a spiritual component into your life. This will help to bring out the harmony that you seem to be missing. Everything is a little bit off kilter. Money's coming in, but you spend it all. You have happiness, but you make up for it by doing things that give you a facsimile of happiness, a false happiness, whether it's alcohol, food, etc. In particular, through this journey, you're going to have someone come in as a helper, an outside person who's probably a water sign themselves, and this person is going to be a very powerful help for you in helping to develop that sign. I do have an ancestor in your life as well. So in addition to the cards, you have an ancestor that's coming forward. Lord, I'm not sure what your relationship with your family is. Previous ancestors, but consider doing some ancestor work. I can give yourself spiritual grounding. It's an opportunity to build spiritual discipline that you need. So there is an ancestor that's very present. Also, I do get a sense that as you work with the ancestors, there may be adoptive ancestors that will come in as well. So don't just be limited by blood. Start off with your ancestors, but also be aware of the fact that there may be an opportunity for other spirits that may not be directly related to you coming forth and assisting you. So that's what I see for my reading here. Hopefully that was of help for you. It is telling us that there is a great potential and hope here that just needs to be tapped in, and hopefully some of these aspects will help you tap into that. We're going to have Mama E do your next reading, and then we'll have Deacon Miller give you some root work recommendations, okay?
Well, hello, Chris. Now, interestingly enough, Conjurmana Lee pulled the High Priestess as the first card, and so did I, which made me smile when he said that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and the way I pull my cards, I pull 9 original cards and make 3 rows of 3, and the center card is the first card that I pull, which was the High Priestess. So that tells me that is the center of your reading, and this is the main issue with you. You are a psychic. You are a reader, and this gift is not being developed. You are focusing on your looks, your appearance, your weight, or whatever outside thing is bothering you, but in reality, you have a wealth and inside of you that has not been exploited. I see the Devil card on top of the High Priestess. That tells me that there's fear. You are afraid to put yourself out there because deep in your heart, you don't think that you can do it. You can. You need to take the step. Go for counseling like Conjurmana Lee did to deal with your blockages. But I also advise you to meditate. Meditate deeply on why you are stopping the gifts that you have and focusing on the material aspect of your life instead of focusing on the spiritual aspect of your life. Your soul is screaming for attention on this. And if you look away from where you're at, if you look far away into a different style, a different future, and this might even mean that you go and learn with someone else that can teach you spirituality, that can teach you any type of spiritual religion or anything that calls your heart, you will be successful. This is what you are, your worst enemy. You're holding yourself back. Now, there is a man in your future, but this is not a lover type of man. Although it's a loving title, it's a loving man, it's a kind man, it's the man that is going to help you channel your gift into a productive business, which is actually what Ali said. I got the King of Cups, I got the Lover's card, which doesn't necessarily mean a couple. It means a partnership, a loving partnership. I got the Seven of Pentacles, someone looking at the growth of the work they have put in. And then the Two of Swords, which is a trust. In my deck is a woman walking a tightrope, blindfolded at night, holding two swords. If that isn't trust, I don't know what it is. So trusting your gift, trusting yourself, because you have a great future. You also have a lot of work to do. You will have lots and lots of work and responsibility, but the outcome is fantastic. And you will be celebrating, and you will be very happy with yourself. So hopefully this will give you some guidance. It's a hopeful reading. You have what it takes. You just have to meditate on it and take the plunge and do it. That's my reading.
Thank you, Mama, for that wonderful reading. Deacon Millet come in and give you some suggestions. Hopefully these readings have been helpful to you, Chris, and have provided some insight. But we also love giving consultations, so we will be giving you some practical and spiritual recommendations. And I think you are in really amazing hands with Deacon Millet in regards to this.
Okay,
so Deacon Millet, if you can give us your insight.
You bet. Well, perfect for a spring renewal themed show. You need to step into your renewal, your cleansing, your protection. And there are a lot of different ways to do that. I'm feeling called to start you off with cleansing. And I like cast off evil for you. And I think I would maybe, I like to mix it with fear not to walk over evil as well. They're just a nice combination in my mind. And so I strongly recommend that you do do the bath with the bath crystals. And even consider getting some extra bath crystals for your laundry, and washing those as well. I think that they will help with the kind of addictive personality traits that you mentioned. Mama, you mentioned, and I agree, that there's a need for courage with you. And I think that carrying a John the Conqueror root on your person would be a very, very good idea. I would anoint it with Crucible of Courage oil, and I would carry it with me always if I were you. I'm also concerned about your finances. Money Stay With Me is the way to go. The next time you guys make a big sale and you've got a big wad of cash, I want you to anoint a candle with Money Stay With Me oil and really fervently pray that this money will not just leave your grasp. You may even want to get a small alligator's paw and tie a bill inside of it and keep that in a place where you see it, that it reminds you, hang on to everything. Now, both Conjurman Ali and Mama E mentioned a spiritual path. And I agree with the
it's very vital. And I'm getting called to say Indian Spirit Guide products would be a good choice for you. So get the Indian Spirit Guide oil. Also use that with your candles. But there is, you are going to be drawn to the right thing. And it's definitely out there. The readings have said that this path is out there for you. I'm getting a sense not only that you need to be using your spiritual gifts in giving to others, but that there's a loneliness to you. I think it is very important that you find a group of people. And you know what's lucky is that you mention using drugs, you mention overeating. There are 12-step groups that you can go to where you'll be astonished by the array of people who will understand your problems and who will be looking for your gifts. So really make use of that. And I think this is going to be an amazing year for you, and it's just beginning.
Those are some great recommendations from Deacon Miller.
Yeah, thank you.
I couldn't agree more. Finding a community is going to be really important for you, and I think it's vis-a-vis that community you'll find the people that will become your guides here. I think introducing an element of spiritual discipline can help you, and it can start out something very small, like building an ancestral altar or a spirit altar that you work once a week on a Sunday maybe or a Monday, or pick whatever day. But those are the two traditional days where you light some candles, offer some water, ask for guidance, do your own readings, keep a journal and a notebook. I'm a big believer in journaling and notebook. It's a really important discipline. It helps a great deal in putting your thoughts down and also as a record of checking those thoughts. So maybe do some weekly readings for yourself and check them in the journal. Spend some time with those answers, because when you start off in that way, what you're doing is you build a foundation upon which you can grow from. And it starts off small. You reach out to spirit, and then spirit reaches back to you. And you're able to build from there. Maybe a practice emerges from there. Maybe it's hoodoo, where you just found lucky mojo. So maybe it ends up being the path of hoodoo that you develop further on. Maybe it's a completely different path. But start off with working with your ancestors in regard to that. Nabi Shiva also said make use of the 12-step program of recovery. I do really see a strong inclination here to find a physical counselor that will aid you with this as well, because you need someone to check the kind of internal dialogue and monologue that you've got going on. And I think that's going to be a great help. Mamani, do you have anything to suggest in addition to what's been said already?
No, I think that Deacon Millett mentioned the Hydron root to carry that. I would also suggest to carry a lodestone and maybe a nutmeg for your money to come to you. And, you know, and just even a little piece of pyrite to increase your income. But I feel that you will be okay, but please meditate and use the gift that you have. You have a lovely gift.
Thank you, Mommy. Hopefully that was helpful to you, Chris. Thank you for trusting us with your situation. We do wish you well. Let's have we're going to have our network announcement next, and then we will have a free spell after that.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for a free spell segment with Mama E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. Take it away, Mama E.
Well, thank you. This spell, it's a variation of an old spell that was shared with me by my friend Shelby O'Connelly, which many of you know. This one has my own twist to it. So since spring is a time of growth, a simple way to bring renewal to your life and your environment is by growing plants and herbs, like we have discussed before. This is a simple way to spread your intentions in an environmentally healthy way. Now, if you have a garden or a place where you can plant flowers, even in pots, this is a spell for you. Pick the flowering bush or plant that you like. In my case, I'm going to marigold. Marigolds are also known as calendula, and they're used to attract money and luck. First, write a petition in a small piece of paper, like, for example, bring luck and money to me 3 times. Write your name across it 3 times. Anoint it with money-drawing oil in a 5-spot pattern. Now, this paper doesn't have to be a big 8x11 piece of paper. It has to be a small little piece of paper, like, you know, 4x4 or even less. Place your petition at the bottom of the hole that you dug where the flowers will be planted. Or if you're doing it in a pot, put it at the bottom of the pot. Pray over the dirt that will go in the pot or that will cover the plant in the ground. Plant it. Now take a bucket of the water that you're going to use and bless it, like we did earlier when I said how to make holy water. You pray over it and you bless that water. And you pray that this marigold will bring you prosperity and money. You use this water to irrigate your marigold. Now, when this plant grows, it will attract bees and butterflies. Every time a bee lands on the flower and pollinates, it will spread your intention out into the world. Now, another way to spread intentions is by planting herbs, which I mentioned before, and also by using bulbs. You can take a bulb and you can plant it in a pot, put your petition paper under it, and bless it and water it, and give it to your friends for Easter. And it will be a lovely way. You can do it for love. You can do it for friendship. You can do it for health and blessings. And you can give this family and friends so that they will share with you and be renewed in the spring.
Well, that is beautiful, beautiful work.
It's a pretty spell.
Yeah, it's great. I love that it's an ongoing work. It's, you know, it's not one thing that you do and then forget about, but it's continuing.
Right.
It's tied to growth, and I really love the component of the bees being involved. I love that. That's so wonderful. Magic of that sort that involves nature and animals and their spirits, that's always going to be fantastic. I'm a big believer in living plant spells and the like, so I think this is great. When it comes to this type of working, though, it does take a little bit of commitment, and I think that's a good thing, right? You don't want to do, if you think about magical work to really change your life, then you want something that you can dedicate yourself to and commit to and do over the course of a period of time. I mean, that's what spring is all about, the idea of the planting of the seed, the idea of blossoming, the idea of really changing from one season to the other. So that's why I love the dedicated aspect of what you're doing. Deacon Miller, do you have anything to add or any thoughts about this particular working?
It's also a great place to plant a honey jar, to plant a darker jar if you want to go that way. there are all sorts of wonderful spell possibilities in the base of a potted plant. And in particular, if you want to do a love working, like a honey jar, but without the glass, you can do it inside of an apple
or inside of a red onion, and you just do the same work as a honey jar, but you put it in there so that it will decompose and become food for the plant. And that in particular, for a couple who's newly engaged, would be a wonderful gift. Newly married would be a great gift. I just think it's a beautiful working moment, E. Thank you so much for bringing it to
us.
Thank you. Yeah, and what a perfectly, you know, fitting one with our topic today of spring renewal. It's really fantastic. This type of working, too, is something that, for whatever reason, probably because of the urban component of hoodoo or the kind of changing of the kind of historical and social change that we face, is not something that people go to immediately. Right? So I think you mentioned the honey jar and apple, right? Something that, for whatever reason, it's not everyone's go-to nowadays. Everyone's go-to is to go and get that jar. Or when it comes to doing work, it's the immediate reaction is, oh, I'm gonna light this candle. Now, candles are great. They're fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But the immediate connection is that, oh, I'm going to work with these plants.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think this is interesting because that connection to nature is a really important way of connecting to, and that's sometimes forgotten in a lot of work that we do. Sitting at altars and in fancy altar rooms and whatnot isn't the heart and soul of hoodoo. It really is a form of natural magic, and I think we need to remember that we are working with herbs and roots and natural materials and working with this idea that the natural world is full of spirit,
right?
That things like plants and herbs, they're not just ingredients. They're actual spirits that we're working with. And so this is a great way, a small but great way, an important step towards reconnecting to the spirit of nature. So thank you for that, and thank you for such a great topic. I really enjoy discussing it with both of you. Let's have Papa Nuke come in and take us on out, and then we'll come back and say goodbye.
Thank you, Conjurman Ali and Deacon Millett, and thank you, Mama E of theconjuredoctor.com in Los Angeles, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Toe Meadows of ToeMeadows.com in Auburn, Alabama, bringing us the topic on removing and repelling unwanted company. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Conjurman Ali at theconjureman.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Deacon Millett at fouraltars.org in Joshua Tree, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again at next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. A special thanks to Mama E for such a wonderful topic and discussion, an amazing freestyle. It's always great to have you on the show. I do hope you'll consider coming back on and doing a part two to this, because I think there's still a really important discussion to have, and spring isn't going to end any soon, so please do. I encourage you to come back. Couldn't have done the show without a wonderful and inimitable Deacon Millett. Thank you for stepping in for Miss Cat. We love having you on the show, and we love both of you, both Mama E and Deacon Millett. We love you both. You're wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful peeps, and I'm so glad to have you in my life. And of course,
thank
a special thanks to Nagashiva and Papa Newt, who are quietly guided us. Without them, this show is not possible. You don't know the invisible labor that goes on there. So thank you both. Thank you for everyone for tuning in. And remember, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is, I think, only a month away. A month away. So get your tickets now. You don't want to miss the festival. It really is something else. So check that out. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Happy Palm Sunday, and see everyone next time.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.